Well, Barbara, we're talking about suffering versus sickness today, and a lot of people have that confused, and therefore they misinterpret Scripture, and I believe the devil beats up on them and they lose.
I agree. This subject of suffering has been something that I've looked at, and I've known that there was a difference between suffering and sickness, but not really known how to define it until I got a Strong's Dictionary. And when you have something, a reference like a Strong's Dictionary, Darren, it is so easy to look into the Hebrew and the Greek and find the true meanings of words. And I recommend that to all of you who are listening today, that you get a Strong's Dictionary, not only the concordance, but the dictionary, because it lists every word, it lists the definition of every word, which is marvelous and a great resource.
You're talking about the accurate definitions, and you know, many times the devil keeps us in ignorance. And in Hosea 4:6, it even says, my people, God was speaking about his own children. He says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Mm-hmm. So we need to increase our biblical knowledge so we know how to interpret Scripture. And it makes the faith walk so much easier when we really know that we know that we know that what we're reading means what we think it says.
Absolutely. And we get a clear vision of who Father God is. As we talked in our first teaching, Darren, about God, he's loving. And he sent Jesus that he would make available healing, divine healing for all of us. And there are some of us that say, well, I've suffered for God, and he made me sick to be glorified in this sickness. No, we're going to find out that the sickness does not come from God. The suffering may come because of the word and because of persecution, because of who we are in Christ Jesus, but God does not make us sick.
Well, no, Barbara, I believe in this teaching I'm going to bring out some of the unbelief packages and some of the traditions and that really have hurt people. And
that's right.
Sometimes we pick these up and you could say, well, it's almost like an old wives' tale. And some people put that right alongside Scripture, mm-hmm. and that's really dangerous because in the New Testament it says, and Jesus was speaking to some of the people of the day, and he says, your traditions have invalidated the Word of God,
yes.
made it to no effect in your life.
Powerless,
I don't want that in my life. Mm-hmm. I want to know the truth, because it says in the book of John, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
That's right. Amen. That's
right. And I want to be free, and I want to be victorious.
So we hope this teaching today will really clarify and verify in your life who God is, and what he sent Jesus for, and how you can live as a Christian. And that's what Darren and I really desire for you to know today.
Well, let's pray. Father God, I just thank you that we can rightly divide the word of truth because of who you are. And Father, I thank you that you're going to guide us through this teaching by the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're going to rightly divide the word of truth. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus, for sending us Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, open up the eyes of our understanding so we might receive revelation on some of these very basic issues. So we're no longer deceived by the evil one, and we can stand strong when we need to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Now, in the Old Testament, we see the word affliction appearing many, many times, and especially in the Psalms. David said, for instance, Psalm 25:18, look upon my affliction and my trouble and forgive all my sins, Lord. And then Psalm 119:71 said, it is good for me that I was afflicted. And you hear this one all the time, that I might learn thy statutes. And then it goes on to say, thy word revives me. And Darren, we're going to look at the word affliction here. It has 14 meanings, and we're going to go through the most common meanings.
Well, you know, when you read that, and I have to admit, I read that for years, and I quoted it for years,
mm-hmm.
and I never taken the time to go back in the original language, the Hebrew, and find out when it said, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. I have to tell you, honestly, I thought it was good that I was sick, that I might learn.
Oh, at times you thought that.
I did. At times I really thought that.
Yeah.
Now, over the past several years, uh-huh. I've been growing in understanding the Hebrew, but at first, you know, at first reading, having grown up with this confusion over affliction and sickness and suffering and all this kind of stuff, you know, I had those all blended together, and that's really what you're trying to target in this teaching, and we're going to show you listeners how this really works out, and it's going to bring relief in your life.
That's right. When I was part of a denomination, there were a lot of sermons about affliction that were sickness and illness, and I'm sure glad Holy Spirit has taught us differently, and it is right there in the Word. Anybody can pick it up and read it and know it.
You know, that's what's so embarrassing, Barbara. You have to sit back and say, you know, it was there all the time.
It was there all the time.
It was in the Word.
Yeah. So affliction has 14 meanings. The most common meaning, we'll go through that, is 60-40, and it's onle. It occurs the most often in the Word, and it means depression or misery. It has the connotation of a browbeating. And this was really interesting, Darren, abasing oneself or shaming oneself for a mistake made. Boy, does Satan like to rail on us when we do something wrong and say, we'll never get out of it, we'll never be forgiven. This is something we're going to carry with us all the days of our life. And this is one of the definitions of affliction, that we are browbeated, and Satan can do that. He can browbeat us till we feel terrible.
Well, once one is browbeaten, I'll tell you, the Lord will really show us what's going on here. And if the devil can con us into destroying ourselves, continually putting ourselves down by abasing and saying, well, you deserve this, or you've done some horrible sin, and therefore God has laid this on you to punish you, to get even with you, I'll tell you, that's a double whammy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a catch-22, as they would say today. And you know, if you're in on the torment, if you've become one of the tormentors of yourself, that's really bad.
Yeah, that is.
I mean, you're going to lose.
Yes. So that's number 6040. Number 6869 is tsara. It means trouble. Now, women, forgive me here, but it means trouble like a rival wife. And it's an adversary, it's adversity, it's distress. It's something that's coming from the outside in. And I'll tell you, we discussed this in Paul's thorn in the flesh, I believe, that we're going to be talking about in this next teaching, that sometimes if you in a marriage have a husband or a wife that are opposing to you, that can be the worst situation in your life. And that's what it means here. Trouble like a rival wife, like someone who is against you all the time, coming against you.
Well, that would be the opposite of agreement. And
yes.
Certainly the opposite of peace.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we see that where there one is in opposition, one is not submitting in love to the other one, whether it's the man to the wife or the wife to the husband. And that's a killer, and the devil loves it. He likes to keep that confusion going. And that breeds strife. And the New Testament says where there's strife, there's every evil thing.
Yes, that's right. Well, we have two Greek words also, number 2347 and 7451. The 2347 is lipsis, and it's burdened by pressure, persecution, tribulation. And then 7451 is raw. It appears five times as bad, evil, mischief. So you can see these meanings of affliction have nothing to do with illness or sickness. And I looked at all 14 meanings, and Darren, they're the same thing. They have nothing to do with disease or illness or sickness.
Okay, now we all know what pressure would be. You just feel pressured maybe by the bills.
Yes.
You got too many bills and not enough money.
And you know what that can do to you. Yes.
Yeah, it just drive you buggy.
Mm-hmm.
Is buggy a good
buggy?
Word?
Buggy? I guess so.
Crazy. All right, persecution. Now, this can come from family members. It can come from people in the church, places where you work. Maybe they're mocking your walk with the Lord. Maybe they don't like the way you're doing the job. But it's just pressure. I believe that's a verbal pressure, or that could be they're isolating you.
Yes, rejecting.
They're picking on you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a type of persecution. I mean, you're being picked on.
Yes.
You're being singled out. Maybe you're being isolated at the workplace. Maybe you're given the silent treatment. I've seen all of those things at work in the workplace.
And another of our friends, she has things thrown at her all the time in the workplace. I mean, she is picked on. If you call that picked on, she is really picked on. She is going through persecution. She is knowing what persecution really means.
Right. And now sometimes it comes down to where a person is trying to get you to compromise your value.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the boss is hitting on you. Let's just be real direct in this teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the boss is hitting on you for sex.
Mm.
And in the workplace, you know, sometimes they say, you know, and I heard one nationally known minister speaking to his congregation. He said, if you want to advance, you got to drop your pants. Well, hey, that's pretty direct.
Boy, that is.
But I'll tell you, it's spoken out, folks. I mean, it's not even the innuendos anymore. In this culture, they put it to you straight.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to resist that if you're going to live a Christian walk. And you may have to say goodbye to that raise, and you may have to say goodbye to that job that has great benefits, because the tribulation and persecutions there are trying to get you to compromise your walk with the Lord.
That's right. In the sower and the seed, Darren, in Matthew 13 and also in Mark 4:17, the number